The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love looking quick towards Rubio. Dobbs! Held on! Touchdown, Green Bay! McManus has the extra point blocked, and the Cowboys try to take it back for two with Marquise Bell. The Dallas on the board with a two-pointer. Off the block, extra point. Toe injuries can be so difficult to come back from. First and 15, left at the ball. Game's first turnover. Third and goal. Jacobs walks it into the end zone for the Green Bay touchdown.
They're dropping a lot of safeties in. They're going to be some chances down the field.
That got rid of it. Here's Pickens inside the 10. Pickens to the goal line. He's in for the touchdown. Cowboys bring it four. Love throw it. End zone touchdown. Rubio Dobbs again. Manis for the tie. 34. And this one is good. And this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game in NFL history.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
Reaction rolling in fast and furious this morning on the Carbless Talkin' text line and on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube every single morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We also have the phone lines lighting up. We've been talking about the tie. We've been talking about the frustration of the play calling and the time management in overtime. But yes, Chew, you are right. The defense was not good either. The defense was giving up a lot of yardage, and the defense was not tackling well. And I have questions about the cornerbacks, and Nate Hobbs was out of the game in the second half. Joshy, you said it so eloquently this morning in the production meeting. Why was Nate Hobbs out of the game?
Because he was getting his ass beat. He had a case of red ass.
Yeah, that works. So there are questions, obviously, about this Jeff Hafley-led defense. And again, we were talking, as Chewy mentioned earlier in the show, oh man, Jeff Hafley's probably going to be the top candidate now for the open jobs, for the open positions in the league. We're going to lose him after this season. Well, you can pump the brakes on that, as the guys looked woeful yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys, who, Gabe, you're still convinced are not a good team. I got to tell you, I thought Dak Prescott played very well.
Yeah, and now he's going to have a game where he doesn't play well. It's kind of what Dak Prescott does. He's got games like this in the resume. He absolutely does. But the Cowboys are not a playoff team. The Cowboys will not be in the postseason when we reach the end of the year. They will not be one of the top seven teams in the NFC.
Because of their defense. I mean, their offense, when they get Lamb back, is good enough, but their defense is...
Yeah, no, this is the only way they can win or tie games. And you just can't... This isn't sustainable. You can't give up 30-plus points every week and expect your offense to be able to keep pace. Yeah, the offense could be fine, but it's not a good football team. It's a team you should blow out.
They weren't ready to play for whatever reason. They were not... The Green Bay's defense...
But they were... The beginning of the game is the only time they played well. It's the only time they forced punts.
I know, but there was no, you know, and there is a Parsons effect. There was no Parsons effect, you know? I mean, he's going to get double-teamed every game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Every game.
And you're saying that when he gets double-teamed, that should free up
someone
guys like Gary,
needs to
that
make
should
a
free
play.
Up guys like Van Ness to be able to go out there and get to the quarterback.
Or the linebackers. They were bad.
Adrian Cooper probably played his worst game as a Packer.
They were
Which,
bad.
Again, he's played a lot of really good games as a Packer.
The number of tackles he missed, can't wait to see what that number is. It was high. Have not seen him play like that in a long time.
Meanwhile, my guy Quay Walker was playing good.
Oh, really? That's what you define good for Quay Walker. Is he earning his contract extension?
He's getting one.
Next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are asking you this morning if you think Matt LaFleur is getting extended. Do you trust Matt LaFleur? Does Matt LaFleur trust his quarterback? Is that what leads to some of the play calling? I did see this reaction. Jeremy in the 920 says, so Jen, look at how well that worked for Hasselbeck to aggressively want the ball first. Totally different overtime rules. I feel like we have to keep reminding people that was when if you scored...
It's
game over.
Any points. Mm-hmm. Any okay. points you scored
game
in the game
over.
Was over.
It's not like that anymore. In fact, Steve weighing in and saying, does Matt LaFleur know that if they had scored a touchdown in overtime, the game would have been over and the Cowboys do not get the ball back? Because once the Cowboys scored a field goal, if the Packers had answered with a touchdown, they don't have to worry about any time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Just score a bleeping touchdown. They don't get the ball back. You don't have to worry about, oh, we left 37 seconds on the clock for Dak Prescott. That doesn't exist anymore. And again, I know that people are still figuring it out because it's early in the season. Ian in East Troy says, don't forget, there's a highly successful football coach that is currently without a head coaching job living in Wisconsin.
McCarthy?
You got it. You got it. God, you're having a really good Monday.
I know. Hey,
it's a great Monday.
Petrino's back at Arkansas. Bet he doesn't have a motorcycle.
What does that have to do with anything?
If Petrino can return to Arkansas, McCarthy can return to Green Bay.
Bouncing ball, Jen. Jeez.
Man, now you're getting outsmarted by Chewy on a Monday?
Honestly. But it's 2 o'clock for him. It's still 8:19. Ron in the Key, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. I'll try not to be me, so it's just to say I'll be brief. I heard everyone last week say that it was LaFleur's fault, not Love's, that Love threw a pick because he should know Love isn't whatever, ready to do it, and not call a pass. Then this week, it's LaFleur's fault because he saw what Love was going to do in such a situation, and he chose to be conservative. I don't get it. Love is the problem. He repeatedly shows us who he is in clutch moments, and then we're blaming LaFleur for going, man, if we get out of here with a tie, that's a miracle because Jordan tends to throw a bad pick here. I don't get it. Make it make sense. Have a good day.
I thought Jordan was good in the clutch last night. Wasn't given an opportunity then once they got down and an opportunity to win the game.
I also think the context was different. The Packers' defense against Cleveland was not letting them get anything.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they seemingly couldn't stop anything. So the one thing, I do think there's questions about Jordan Love. He's certainly not a perfect prospect. He's certainly not been perfect in his career thus far. But Matt LaFleur seems to pull the wrong string at the wrong moment so very consistently. When he should be trusting him, he's not. And when he's not trusting him, he should. And it seems like the decision-making that he does is inconsistent and doesn't really breed a type of confidence even amongst the guys he has out there. It is seemingly whatever he's feeling at the moment is what he's going to do, and he's not going to have a really good explanation on why.
And look, I would love to logically say that the reason Matt LaFleur is making these decisions is because he has all this data, he has seen Jordan Love in these spots, and he thinks, here's what is going to put our team in the best position to execute and to move the chains. But I also keep going back to Aaron Rodgers. Fair or unfair, changing plays at the line of scrimmage because he didn't agree with Matt LaFleur's play call, because he didn't think that it was the right call at the right time, because he didn't think that it set them up for success either in that moment or down the road. And then I keep saying, like, maybe Rodgers was saving the offense more often than we think.
I don't like
that. It'd be fun to relitigate,
you know,
that.
In those situations, I just want to see more bread and butter. Like, bread and butter is the out route to receivers. Right? Yeah, it's not going to get you a touchdown, but it's going to get you into 2nd and 4. That play is so easy, right? We used to say, well, we can run that in our sleep. Get away from the damn slip. I hate slip screens, number one, especially when they don't work. I just hate that play.
I'll see your slip screen. You know what I mean? Raise you a jet sweep.
Can I see a screen? Can I see a screen to Josh Jacobs?
They ran a good one. Was it to do manual last night? They had a good one to Emmanuel. So.
They give those to Tucker Kraft, too, now.
Yeah. Or a stick route to Kraft. 5 yard out, gets you 8. 2nd and, you know? Just, I know we're beating a dead horse. Sorry.
Take a break. Go ahead, Gabe.
Want to tell you about it, my friends at Wisconsin Country Club, because there's still plenty of time to play some really good golf. Take a look at the weather. It's going to be great. Why don't you want to play great golf? And you should be joining Wisconsin Country Club right now. I did around the same time a couple of years ago, and I have not regretted it. I love the great golf course that we have, and it's always in great shape, especially this time of year. It is just singing. Plus, we have no assessments, no food and beverage minimums, just an incredible, challenging golf course, and other top-tier amenities like tennis, pickleball, and a pool. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Play some great golf. WisconsinCountryClub.com. Just a fairway away.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Our friends at Events by Design can help you with holiday planning. That's right. If you are in charge of planning your holiday party at your company, look, just reach out to Events by Design. See if they can help. Whether it's just something small, like they helped us out with our golf outing, by having somebody out on the 14th hole and having walk-up songs before everybody hit their tee shot. If you need something big, they can do that as well. But the creative team at Events by Design, they truly enjoy the work that they do. So retain some of that top talent. Invest in that culture today. Events by Design. Again, no event is too big. No event is too small. They're going to be able to help you out, especially with those holiday planning holiday party planning meetings you've got coming up. Just search online, Events by Design. They design you party.
Packers now have two wins, one loss, and one tie on the early ledger. 40-40 against the Cowboys last night. Now they're on the bye. And as Gabe mentioned earlier, Matt LaFleur is 3-3 career as Packers head coach after the official bye. We're not talking mini byes, we're not talking unofficial byes, just after the actual bye, he's 3-3. Let's go out to the phone lines. Tom in Chicago, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. How did you feel about the Packers tying the Cowboys last night?
I don't know, you guys, but did it feel like it was worse than a loss? Like, I'm just kind of stunned. And, like my dad just, like, he just walked up and, like, do you guys feel like, first question before I ask you guys my question, was it worse than a loss?
It felt as bad as a loss.
Yeah, I don't think anything can be worse than a loss. Unless you have, like, a catastrophic injury to an incredibly important person. So, no, okay. I'm not there. I'm not with you on that one.
Okay, and then, like, to me, guys, I'm just done with the Matt LaFleur. Like, this clock, man, and this is why I would come talk to you, this is therapy. Like, it's just the same things over, like, the whole, like, what was worse, the first half or the end of overtime? Because, like, I'm so sick and tired of these give and goes from Jordan Love. Like, these, like, fake handouts are not fooling the defense. Like, when you look at, like, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and, like, Kevin McConnell, these guys aren't doing these, like, fake give and boosts. It's like, you get your guys open by, like, scheming your wide receivers open, not doing these fake boots. So I'm just like, and, like, he just says the same things over and over in this press conference, like, oh, it's bad play calling. It's like, it's on you, dude. And then mix in with the keeping Rich Bisaccia and just, like, keep letting it happen. It's just like, at some time, like, it's going to cost us in the playoffs, and we're going to be like, oh, we should have seen this a long time ago. So I'm just like, am I going crazy, guys, or is this like just, or am I like, honestly?
No, you're not. But it's a little too early. I mean, we're four games in. They've underachieved, sure. But this thing doesn't start, like I said, the week 12, week 13. It really doesn't. It doesn't. They're going to destroy Cincinnati at home, and everything's going to be great, and we're going to take it too far the other way, right? It's just, it'd be fine.
The one thing I know for sure,
everything's fixable. Would you agree?
Except for the special teams.
I was about to say, here comes a Bisaccia pop.
If it's one thing I know it's not too early on is him not being deserving of the job he holds.
Well, because we talked about Jordan Love. Oh, hey, this is a learning moment for him. If he learns from the interception and grows, then maybe it can be worth it. Guess who did not learn and grow from the blocked field goal, only to have the second kick of the game get blocked? That'd be Josh's boy Rich.
Yeah. That's a 3-point swing, and again, right?
Mm-hmm. In a tie game. Again, if that 3-point swing doesn't happen, the McManus kick at the end of regulations for the win.
Huh. That's how that works.
I mean, we're not
if
great.
Only this we're was only the first on time program. He cost the Packers a game. It's, if only.
I mean, the special teams have been solid, Josh, right?
I know you chat GPT. Can you see how many times Rich Bisaccia has bleeped over the Packers?
I'm on it. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Got to get to our buddy Rob Domofsky. He's coming up next. I'm sure he will have some very insightful stuff from what's going on at 1265. That's next.
That's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh,
yeah. Hey.
Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always. always great to get Rob Domofsky's perspective on the green and gold, especially after people are scratching their heads after last night's tie in Big D. Good morning, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jen. How are you?
Can we first start by saying, when I say 3-point swing, do you understand what that means on the blocked extra point?
One that you didn't get and two that you gave up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the help with the remedial math. Not like anybody was struggling with that out there in the YouTube comments. All right, so what is the biggest takeaway from yesterday's tie? I almost said loss. Tie to the Dallas Cowboys.
I've almost said that too, that I've referred it to that. The biggest takeaway is that this team isn't the automatic 13-14 win team that we thought it was after 2 weeks. But I still think that it's definitely a playoff team. I don't think it's like panic time, but they've got some stuff they need to figure out both for the short term with this team and for the long term if they're headed in the right direction in terms of, you know, special teams, who's running it, coaching decisions, all that kind of stuff.
Rob, is it as because the offense is getting beat up through the text chain today and even the phone lines. But as a player, you know, when I look at it's simple as this. The last 2 weeks, the offense lost against Cleveland and the defense lost against Dallas.
Yeah.
That simple?
I think it's 100% fair. I mean, you look at, like, the Packers' second half, okay? They had, what, 5 possessions. They went touchdown, 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 field goal, okay? Like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure you can put this on them in really a whole lot of ways other than maybe some execution type stuff, that might have allowed them to add a little bit more time and score a touchdown at different points, or the decision making at the end of halves or early in the game. I still can't believe they didn't go for that early fourth down. Was it 4th and 1.5 or
mm-hmm.
so around mid, you know, not too far from midfield early in the game? Like, I mean, but that's not offensive. Like, that's not offensive execution, really. That's offensive decision making. So I agree with you. Like, I mean, I know they all say it's a team game, but when Micah Parsons said that he told Jordan Love that, you know, basically sorry that we didn't hold up our end of the bargain, I think that tells you what you need to know.
The Matt LaFleur part of it, though, it seemed like every decision he made was wrong. You start with the not going for it on fourth down. Then he decides to get aggressive. That blows up. And at the end of the first half where Jordan has the strip sack and that gives Dallas yet another touchdown. And
yeah.
What the heck happened at the end of the game? Because it seemed like once they got into field goal range, once again, he turtled up and decided not to play for the win, but was kind of content going for the tie.
Which they almost blew with, if that ball gets tipped up in the air.
Or if it's just incomplete, if it like sails over him and goes out of the back of the end zone, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, that's one tick away. I could not believe it as it was unfolding, and I still can't believe it. I haven't had a chance to watch the TV yet. I'm at the airport about to head home, but it's baffling to me. Look, you about every decision he made, it's like the Seinfeld where George, you know, if your every decision is wrong, do the opposite. instead of tuna salad on toast, I'll have chicken salad on rye. But chicken salad is not the opposite of tuna. Salmon's the opposite. Salmon swim upstream.
Because they swim upstream.
Good for the tuna.
Exactly. But no, I mean, I don't understand a lot of things that he did, and I would love to have some truth serum injected into his veins and like hear what he actually was thinking, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And this is a nitpicky thing, but I'm not one. I've always been the one to not go for two too early in the game, but I almost think you, getting back to Jen's original point off the top, the 3-point swing, I almost think you maybe needed to try to get two on one of those touchdowns that came after that. And I don't know. There's so many things that, from a decision-making standpoint, really, really baffle me.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He does it each and every Monday during the football season. Rob, what are we to make of special teams? What are we to make of Rich Bisaccia's unit?
You know it's bad when former players are texting you during the game, what the heck is wrong? Why can they not get this fixed? Former special team standout players. I'm not going to mention any names, but you can start guessing if you want. But, like, these are guys who...
Travis Jervey?
One of which... I actually feel terrible about, because his number came up not in my contacts, and I was like, who is this?
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
That's
so
the
guys, worst. I haven't talked to him. Yeah, guys, I haven't talked to in quite a while.
Sometimes I'll look at the area code, and I'll try to narrow it down.
Well, I did that, and I should have. Yeah, I should have, because the area code was an obvious giveaway the more I thought about it, because it was a little bit of an obscure place. I'm saying too much already about who this player might be. But, like, that's bad, right? When former players, like, are like, why can they not get this right? I thought we had this fixed. Things like that. And look, they've got a big, big problem on their hands with special teams, because they obviously did not get fixed some of what happened. And then, like, I don't know if this is being talked about enough, but to me it should be. The kickoff return decisions when the ball hits in the landing area, and then to take it is take a knee in the end zone, it's costing you 15 yards. Like, the big difference between taking it at the 20 and the 35, I realize Savion Williams is a young player, but, I mean, those guys have to know. I know these kickoff rules are weird. We have a meeting with the refs every year in the summer, and they go over it, and Wayne Larrivee, who does such an unbelievable job on the play-by-play, asks the kickoff questions like 8,000 times to make sure he understands it. Like, you would think these players would have that basic knowledge of the rules and are instructed what to do if this happens. And that to me, that's almost unacceptable.
Well, just quickly on that, on the broadcast, they were saying that Brandon Aubrey was putting some sort of spin on the ball, making it difficult for the Packers to come up and try to catch it. And then it kind of bounces funny, leading to these balls coming out to the 20. If Brandon Aubrey can do it, are other kickers, I'm assuming, going to start trying to copy that?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best there is, especially from a leg strength standpoint. And if he can, maybe you need to check the grooves on his wedges.
He's playing with those ping eye twos.
Are these conforming or non-conforming the things he's got hitting the ball? I'm not sure, but okay, great. He's putting spin on it. Figure it out. Like, that's the name of the game. Figure it out.
Rob, was Halfley way too conservative? It kind of felt like a Joe Barry Carroll defensive game plan. I mean, it seemed like he played way too much zone, especially with CD Lamb on the sideline.
I thought the same thing, just in terms of it looked like they played a lot of zone, and that's a hard call. I don't know what he saw that made him do that. Dak, obviously, he was on point last night. Even when pressured, it didn't seem to faze him. Like, he was just as good when he had pressure in his face as he was when he, could stand back there and pick it apart. And, I'd love to hear the explanation for what they did or didn't do. It didn't seem like they did very many of those simulated blitzes. I did see a couple times where 56 and 7 might fake like they're coming and then peel back and then. Sometimes it just didn't seem like they went very often, So I don't know why that would be.
It felt like, which was weird, because they're in Dallas and he's back there for the first time. There was no Micah Parsons effect. Like, Parsons was playing hard, but where was the other help?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I thought he was playing hard, and I watched him quite a bit. And there were times, and it wasn't just a few, where he'd get blocked initially by the right tackle or the left tackle, whichever side he was on, and then the back or the tight end would chip him, and then the guard would come over and get him after that. So it's not a pure triple team, but three guys paying some sort of attention to him, and there was nothing else. I mean, Parsons talked a lot after the game about how, seemingly, he didn't use the word concerned, but sure sounded concerned about Devontae Wyatt.
Well, that was,
That happened fairly early in the game, right? If I remember right, these games are when there's 89 offensive plays, however many there were by the Packers, it's hard to keep track of when stuff happened. It's especially trying to write stuff during the game. But like, that was a big, and it could potentially be a big thing. I will say this: I saw Wyatt walk out of the locker room, and he looked like he was walking just fine. So you would hope that's a sign that it's not major, but. Yeah, I mean, Van Ness, Gary, the backup interior lineman didn't seem to get a whole lot done, and it wasn't for lack of one-on-ones, because you know, Parsons did take so much attention away from those guys. But, I mean, look, sometimes that happens. Like, I wonder if it was just the perfect storm that too many bad things happened in one game, and that you can usually win when some bad things happen. And you know, a lot of teams, all teams, in fact, will have bad things happen, but it's just too many in one shot. And, you know, that's the whole, it sounds cliche, but it's the whole complimentary football, and that's why it's so important.
Last thing for you, Rob, before we let you go, why haven't we heard more of Xavier McKinney's name making plays out there? Obviously, he was fantastic last year, but I haven't heard him in these four games.
Yeah, no, I agree. The one interception he had was basically a punt at the end of the half against Cleveland, right, where they were just chucking it deep. It's a really, really good question. He was around the ball so much. The defensive back coaches and the secondary coaches seemed to indicate, when we talked to him a week and a half ago or so, that teams just weren't, you know, they were drawing, I believe Halfley even said, they're drawing a red circle around the part of the field where Xavier McKinney is, and they're avoiding it, which could be true. I mean, statistically, I don't know, are teams not throwing between the numbers as much? I haven't looked at that, but so much of his stuff last year came down the middle of the field. And he made a lot of plays that way. That's one thing. I'm glad you said that. We'll have to look up that and see if teams are throwing outside the numbers more than they are in between the numbers this year. Could be a factor. Or, look, I mean, maybe he just isn't playing as well as he was last year. I can't say that without, you know, being privy to what his assignments are, play in and play out. I think that's the trap that people fall into, is you don't know what a player is supposed to do on a given play. It's not like he's getting beat or exposed. He just isn't making the big plays. But I do think that's something that they need to try to get going if they can. Can you manufacture ways for safeties, deep safeties, to make plays?
Rob, we always appreciate your insight. You're the best. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a great bye week, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Enjoy your time off, Rob. Get some golf in. Still beautiful outside.
It's gonna be nice. I can't wait to get back.
And for those of you keeping track at home, Gabe is now averaging at least 2 golf references per segment this morning. So again, we haven't had a Ryder Cup conversation, so I get it. It's bubbling over a little bit.
We don't have enough time, Jim.
No.
We don't have enough time.
If you're looking to be more organized, check out my friends over at Closets by Design. I told you guys that I needed more organization. It was causing me anxiety, and Doug and his team recognized that. They were able to help me create a warm, incredible, organized space in my closet, and I feel so much better about using that space. If you find yourself in that area where you're like, hey, this mudroom, this pantry, this closet, it's a disaster, reach out to my friends at Closets by Designs. They'll come in, no obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you when you reach out to Closets by Design.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my apple.
All
right, can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I say, happy wife, happy life. That usually means a visit to my guy, Dino the Dancing Machino, at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to make that next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading to the Jewelry Center for their engagement rings. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center, had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their 3 locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, today. Or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
We know it would make Josh DiMaggio feel better, so let's talk about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is help. Visit betterhelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Should the Packers fire Rich Bisaccia, Gabe?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you can't get worse.
Sure.
Please, for the love of
so
God.
So ambivalent. Yeah, maybe.
But the problem is, it's not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. As Chewy pointed out earlier, LaFleur doesn't want to fire his guys. And it's very obvious, with that associate head coach title, that Rich Bisaccia is one of his guys. He ain't going nowhere.
I'd say just remove the game managing type from him. It seems to be a little too much. Just let him concentrate on special teams and go from there. But it's got to be another guy.
How can you not concentrate on two things?
I don't know. Some guys can't multitask, Gabe.
Well, even before he had that position, he was also just not as good. I'm starting to tie Matt LaFleur's game management and time decisions back to his right-hand man who he's having conversations with every time, and I'm starting to have some real negative thoughts about the whole process. It's just, how is he such a made man? What does he have? Does he have blackmail on everyone in the Packers organization? Who has failed more at their job over the past 3 years?
Nathaniel Hackett. That's fair, right?
Yeah, but he did that with another team. And then we hired him back for lesser.
That's on you for not asking a more specific question of Chewy.
And he got fired.
No.
He paid the price.
Yes. And we brought him back, didn't we? Is he with the Packers?
He was doing some of the different, like the thing that Saleh was doing last year. Yeah,
great.
It's like a grad assistant, but in the NFL.
Maybe he just likes his goatee. Keeps him around for the sick goatee.
I hate it.
Maybe.
Yeah, but you don't like anything about him, if we're being honest. So, all right. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Will, Dee, and Tausch will continue the conversation right now on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.